Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and you wouldn't believe it, but in the Pacific Northwest, we actually have blue skies. Woohoo! We can't ask for anything more. That's the reason I'm sounding a little giddy here, but I have to tell you, you have to have a good sense of humor when you read this book. Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. My guest, Robert Forman, has a very down-to-earth approach to some very special experiences that he went through, and he's with us right now, and I'm so delighted he's able to join us. Robert, what a joy to have you on the show.
It's a real treat to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, your book, I was telling you before we went on the air, one, I love the cover, and I love the title, Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. And reading through your story, I thought, wow, this is one of the most down-to-earth persons that has written about their spiritual experience that I've come across in a long time. Not that other people aren't candid, but you really get down to the bare bones of the frustrations and everything else that you went through. And you have a statement right in the beginning of your book, in the prologue, you say, a spiritual life, even a so-called enlightened spiritual life, is much less and much more than any self-serving or bitter account could ever portray. Why did you decide to open up your soul and let people read this?
Because there's much too much BS in the spiritual world. There's much too much hype. There's much too much self-glorification. There's much too much kind of pretense, and there's much too much fantasizing and idealization. I think it's long overdue. I mean, we've been, you know, the Western societies have been involved with spirituality for, I mean, the way we've kind of come to it for 40, 50 years now. And it's kind of, we're kind of growing up with it. And it's time that we said what this stuff really is and isn't. And it's not, you know, it's not that your life becomes perfect, and it's not that everything is wonderful, and it's not we know everything is all one. Rather, it's a very important addendum to the human journey. And I think it's high time that we told each other, this is what it is. This is what it is to be a growing, maturing, becoming wiser human being. And I wanted to tell the real story. I'm so tired of spiritual texts and spiritual teachers who kind of communicate a certain idealization of both themselves and of what the path is about. So my attempt here was to tell the real, honest to goodness, no BS truth.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think is very disillusioning for a lot of people is that they find that life still is life. You still are going to get kicked in the seat of the pants. If you don't eat, you're going to starve to death. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in the real world, and the real world is not separate from the spiritual world. And that is one of the things that I have encountered with people through the years, and I can totally empathize with them because you buy into whatever dogma special is going to be in the wind, and you just think, how come it's not working? Well, you know, I must be doing something wrong, and they're not doing anything wrong. They are, in effect, living life.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And I think that by teaching a kind of idealized version of the path, a lot of people walk away feeling like, oh, I just can't do it. I can't meditate. It's like I'll never, my life will never evolve. And I think that that does damage to folks. I couldn't agree more. And so I think what we need to do is we need to be quite real about what this stuff is. Because the path I'm trying to walk in the book, Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be, is a kind of a narrow ridge between the idealization, the fantasization of what enlightenment is like and what the spiritual path is like, and also the saying the spiritual path is worth nothing. I think it really is important. It really is a boon to human beings. I think we really do become more settled, wiser, more open, less defended. I think all of those things are true, but it's not this sort of instant thing. The neon lights don't go off. We don't become perfect. We always will have an ego. We always will have issues that come up for us. And anybody that tells you you're going to end up with this kind of perfected life, I think is kind of kidding around. It's kidding you, mm-hmm. and they might be doing you some damage. So, yeah, I very much appreciate what you're saying.
I have to share a story about someone that I knew personally. And this individual, about 15 years ago, decided that they wanted to join a particular grouping of people that happened to have an organization down in the South. And I'll never forget talking to my friend and saying, I really don't think you're going to stay with this because you're going to outgrow it. Well, this individual had been having some challenges in life, but they wanted to become a part of this grouping because it was really promoting a great deal. This is your spiritual nirvana. This is what's going to happen to you. And this person was having a very tough life, and they really, for all intents and purposes, wanted to turn their life over. They wanted to not bother with things. They didn't want to be bothered with this, that, or the other. So they joined the group. And it was about 10 years before I heard from them. And then out of the blue, there happened to be the connection. And I just had this wonderful conversation with this person. And they told me that they had given up everything, given all the money to the group, and had gone off and just became totally immersed. They didn't even have to worry too much about the food that they ate and all of this stuff. It was just great. And they were teaching. And this person is a natural teacher. But one day, they woke up, and this person described to me how the leader of the group, when this person passed away, the other people that came in, she said it was just a tremendous shift. She said, I couldn't be there anymore. So this individual really awakened to the fact that she had actually moved into a scenario that wasn't unlike, it had a different costuming, but it wasn't unlike what she had run away from. And consequently, had to go through the circle of experience in that environment. And when she finally woke up and came back, and she said, boy, I can't believe I did it. And I just had to chuckle. Now, there was no condemnation here, but I had to smile. She was wise enough to realize that she had to be in charge of her own mind, her own space, and her life.
You know, there's a thought in Enlightenment 8, what it's cracked up to be, that's, I think, could be helpful to your friend and also to our listeners, which is, I think disillusionment gets a bum rap. I think disillusionment with a cultish kind of behavior, and I think you're describing something that sounds rather cultish to me.
Yeah.
I think disillusionment with a cult or with a cultish behavior or even with any narrow way of thinking is a sign of the human being growing into fullness, a sign of the human being becoming larger, and that becoming larger, that discovery that there is more, that we can be more honest, we can be more open, we can include more things in the way we think about the world. That discovery that there is more and that we can be more, mm-hmm. is in fact the marker that a human being is growing to greater maturity and greater openness. I think disillusionment gets a real bum rap. I think disillusionment is a wonderful part of the path. I think if people say, you must believe in this way, you have to hold on to the path, I think those people are being somewhat naive, that there is no one way to think about things. There is no path that is complete 100%. And disillusionment with a path, with any one way to think, I think is a sign of sanity, not a sign of the lack of belief or the lack of faith. So I'm completely with you. I think what your friend went through was that they were like a peg in a hole, and then the hole stayed the same, but the peg got bigger. And mm-hmm. I think that I think we all need to keep getting bigger, and that's kind of what Enlightenment ain't what it's cracked up to be is saying, that we can be bigger, we can be more honest, we can be more open and free, and there is no path that can contain it. That is one of the first insights that allowed me to become freer in my own life, in my own spiritual life.
I think that is one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves, is the awareness that one, we're never going to know it all. Two, there is so much to explore. And three, the greatest security is within the understanding of yourself and that
Absolutely.
You can adapt. And I think any story, I mean, I've interviewed thousands of people, and anyone that I have met that has lived what I call a story of life, they usually can tell you about tens of thousands, maybe millions of dollars lost, suffering, pain, physical problems, loss of loved ones. I mean, just they are filled with something, and then they said, no, I had to go past this. This is what I did. And the sign of greatness to me with anyone is not a title. It's the essence of who they are. And that is something that I think you bring out in your book, too. Now, you had a wonderful teacher, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved your description of him. He was short, stringy-haired, and just loved by those that knew him.
Yes.
What brought you into his environment?
Oh, my goodness, that's a wonderful story. I was extremely depressed when I was in college. I was probably clinically depressed, and I was struggling with some serious anxiety. I was really a mess when I was in college. And so I started to try whatever I could find. I tried yoga, I tried Zen, I tried psychotherapy, whatever I could think of. And then I stumbled into transcendental meditation, which was becoming quite popular. This was 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first meditation for me, the absolute first meditation for me, took off like a shot.
And, wow, what was that like?
Well, it was as if I heard, TM, it teaches you to meditate using a sound. It's a meaningless sound called a mantra. And the very first meditation, it was as if I heard 100 monks chanting this sound. It was so bizarre and so powerful. And it made me weep. I was just in tears for quite a number of the first few meditations. And though the monks disappeared after about a week, the power of the meditation has always been there for me. And so that... after I started meditation, I took some weekend retreats, and then I took a month-long retreat with Maharishi. And the program that you're describing that I went on that was quite transformative for me was a 9-month, 6 to 8 hours a day, every day of meditation and yoga. It was a wonderful
wow.
experience. Yeah.
Amazing.
And Maharishi was a wonderful man. I admire him. He was a charismatic man and just taught me. Well, I'd been to graduate school in the study of religion and comparative mystical experiences, and I learned as much or more at the feet of that man than I did from any other system. He was just brilliant.
Someone might say, listening to this, wow, if you had that fine a guru, why did you strike out on your own? Why did you decide that you were going to walk a road of practicality? Why didn't you become a monk sitting in a golden robe, you know, just ashram somewhere?
9 months in an ashram is pretty much like doing that. I was very committed to the TM movement, the Transcendental Meditation movement. I was very committed to him for quite a long time. And at some point, I had this quiet thought. I'd been probably seriously involved with the TM movement now for 5-7 years. And at some point, I had a thought. I said to myself, in a meditation, no less, you know, I've been Maharishi's squawk box, a spokesman. For all this time now, I wonder what I have to say. And it was that simple of a thought. And that led me into starting to write, and it led me to sort of explore, lots of ways to think about things. And I did start to write, and I ended up in graduate school. And to tell you the truth, Donna, I sometimes wish that I was back in the TM world. It was so homey, and it's so sweet to have hundreds of people that you could go to a coffee shop and they would get your issues, they would get your cynicism, they would get your ideals. I loved being in that world, but I think to grow up and to find your own path and to find your own way, as I said before, is part of what it is to become a mature spiritual being, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back at those years. I love the community. There's a wonderful community still. And I kind of miss it, but I've had to find my own way, and I think most of us have to find our own way to live in that cultish world that you're describing your friend was in.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's constricting about it, and I just had to find my own way. I had to see what was on the other side of the mountain.
And I think, as you said, that's a mark of maturation. And it's not putting down anybody or anything. It's just, it's time to move on. It's like a little baby that decides, thank you, crawling around on my knees is fine, but I want to walk up straight. And they pull themselves up, and then they never go back. I don't know many adults that still want to get down on their hands and knees and crawl around unless they're working with a little one. But seriously, it's no, we want to move forward. And the next thing you know, then you want a car. And the next thing you know, then you want, like me, a gyrocopter that's going to get you from point A to point C a little bit faster. I really like the Jetsons.
I'll tell you one thing about this notion of growing up that I think is the critical thing. And in fact, I've got a bit of a program that we've started to help people do this. I think the key act in becoming a mature spiritual person, a mature human being, is the ability to tell increasingly deep truth. And to get a sense for what I mean, I'm asking you, Donna, have you ever had the experience in which you were with a very dear friend, and at some point you tell this friend something that you've been keeping from them or keeping from everybody for a long time? Have you had that? Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes. I remember that first kind of experience when I was 19 years old, yes.
Well, what's it feel like right after you tell a secret or a truth like that? What's it feel like after you've told the truth?
I felt like the one person, especially when I was 19, when I told this person, I felt like I had to tell them the story because it would help them survive what they were going through so that they didn't have to go to the depth of experience I went through, which was a very negative one, and they could be free. Of what
and
they
in, inside yourself, after you told that, did you feel freer? Did you feel lighter?
Yes.
Or you were just concerned for your friend?
It was a mixture of both.
It was
a mixture of both. And there's the old saying, there are no such thing as secrets, that everything really, truthfully, is already known. Mm. You can't have any secrets in life, but we go through the illusion of that, and many times that becomes a big burden, and especially if a person's a very private individual. So I'd say it's a composite of feelings.
Right. Well, it's the thing that I've discovered, and I hear you saying this, is that to carry a secret, to carry something that is, you just can't let it out, is a kind of burden that we carry, and to let the secret out is freeing. It is opening. It is, you become a bigger person because you now are no longer protecting that secret. And that, I think, is the key quality of what it is to be a spiritual being. So that the way to bring about the freedom in your own life that you can find on the meditation cushion or on the prayer mat, the way to bring freedom into a life is to be able to tell truth, your real truth, and increasingly deep truth. And I think that that is the way to connect the dots here, to bring the value of one's spiritual life, the depth of one's spiritual life, the openness you can find on the meditation mat, into your life. I think the key is to be able to tell the truth about what that is, and to tell the truth about who you are. And so that as you become a bigger being, the key act in becoming bigger is, I think, truth-telling. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is really would be helpful. Can I get a little plug in here, or is that inappropriate for you?
Oh, what do you mean, a little plug?
Well, I just want to tell people how they can learn this, because it's a beautiful program that we've developed here.
Let's save that for a little bit, because, yes, you're more than welcome to do that. Let's save it, because I want to share some of your experiences. You have a sentence in your book where you said, I was looking for spiritual party favors. What I got was an existential earthquake.
An existential earthquake. Yeah, you want me to explain that sentence?
Yes.
You know, when you start out the spiritual path, many of us started out looking for what we thought enlightenment was going to be. And enlightenment was going to make us happy. Enlightenment was going to make our lives without ego. Enlightenment was going to make everything fun or everything wonderful. And in that sense, I was looking for a kind of treat for me, a kind of party favor. But what enlightenment brings about, or what the shift was that I went through, and I wasn't sure at the time this was enlightenment, but what the shift that the spiritual life brings about is it brings about a shift in who you are. And you go from being rather caught up with your experiences and caught up with your feelings to recognizing or being able to sense that your own consciousness, what you are deep inside, is an expanded and infinite, in fact, silence. And so I went from being Robert Forman, who was all caught up with his experience, to when I looked inside, I became this open, without boundaries, rather pleasant, but deep sense of silence inside. And that was an existential shift, a shift in who I was. The word existential means that it's about the very nature of who you are. So that existential shift, or an existential earthquake, as I say, was much deeper and yet much subtler than I was expecting. And so the shift that I went through was truly valuable, but it was not the kind of, oh boy, my life is going to be perfect, that I thought it was going to be. Yeah?
Something that I have observed through the years in reading different stories about people that have been classified as saints or have been individuals that have been put up on pedestals by people, so frequently it is ignored that these people were constantly challenging themselves. Mm. And they were constantly asking questions and had times when they got ticked off or, you know, life was not smooth and easy. And I always find it so interesting that there is an attitude of not wanting to look at the realness of people. We want to glorify them. We don't want to look at their humanness. And I remember the big furor when Mother Teresa's diary was found, and they found that she wrote down how alone she felt, and she went into so much detail. And I thought, I think that's the reason she left the diary, so that somebody could find it. Because that showed her as a human being, just someone that had challenges all the time for her faith and for whatever she went through. This was, life is not a sweet piece of cake lots of times.
And first of all, I want you to know I feel rather embarrassed to be put in the same category as Mother Teresa here. But I can say that I've had some rather interesting and permanent shifts. The book describes them. But I think that what has made my life and what I think makes lives of people that we admire of value or enviable or desirable is that there is a sense of a commitment. I am committed to continuing the process of growth, continuing the process of discovering ever more deeply what is true for me, ever more deeply what is true in the world that I see. And I think that real wisdom points to a life of ruthlessness about truth and dedication to ongoing discovery and ongoing recognition that who you are can go deeper and who you are must go deeper for a life to continue to be meaningful. So I completely agree with you. And that path, my path and the path of pretty much everyone I know, always involves the discovery of what isn't working and the discovery of what is, and to use what isn't working as a kind of a lever or a stepping stone towards a life of greater depth and greater meaning. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I'm sure Mother Teresa was on that kind of path as well.
And
yeah, I think we tend to idealize people like that. Absolutely. Sorry.
Right. And not that what she did wasn't significant, but I think finding that this is a woman that sometimes will get terribly discouraged. And I've met so many people that sometimes feel so isolated because instead of being looked at as a real person, again, this is a human tendency, I think, just to want to make everything grandiose. If someone's a king or a queen, oh, gee whiz, they've got a perfect life. I'm sorry. They have problems, too. And whatever role we come into play in life, I think it's fascinating to be aware that everything has a place, and I'm just in awe. I really am. I think of all the different individuals whose stories I've listened to and the paths that they've taken, and the diversity just is absolutely phenomenal. It's infinite. And I wanted to lead into a section that you have in your book, and I'm going to quote it directly. Finding a life's calling, at least in the way I understand, is more like listening than creating. You come to orient your work around what is most deeply true, allowing it to do its work through you. And, wow, I think that you've really nailed something there.
Yeah, I have a nice story to tell you. I was 4 or 5 years ago. I was sort of in need of money, and I went out and I became a kind of consultant about energy, making sure your house was more efficient. And I was describing to a dear friend that I was thinking of starting this little business. And my friend got really upset with me, and he was yelling at me, and he says, "You shouldn't be doing that. You're not a businessman. You're a thinker. You're a writer. You shouldn't be doing that. That's beneath who you are, and that's not what you should be." And that was the only time I've ever had where the world clonked me on the head and said, "Hey, bub, straighten up. This is not your calling." But I think mostly what our calling, how we discern a calling is, that we kind of listen in, and we listen for where the signals are kind of giving us a nudge, as opposed to clonking us on the head the way my friend did. I think that sense of a nudge, what another friend of mine calls the cosmic nudge, I think we all get these cosmic nudges. We have to be quiet enough and open enough that we can hear it, but it's definitely there. And the signals come to us about really what our calling is, really what we should be doing. And I think that if we listen carefully enough, we can hear it. But it often comes as a very quiet hint, as opposed to, like my friend did, yelling at me and telling me, "Hey, knock it off."
Mm-hmm. It yeah. really is. And I think so many times when we do it, it's so natural that because of indoctrination we've felt, we're supposed to really break our necks. We're supposed
yeah.
to go through a lot of nonsense, but that's part of the learning, too, to yeah. let go of what is not applicable to us. You have a bit of a poem here that I really like. 10,000 flowers in spring, the moon in autumn, a cool breeze in summer, snow in winter. If your mind isn't clouded by unnecessary things, this is the best season of your life. You have so many wonderful parts in your book, so much that you share, that I really feel that anybody that would pick up your book, Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be, would really gain an insight, and I think they would feel like, "Phew, I don't have to sit on a rock for 45 hours a day? Jeez, that's such a relief." I really think that life is nothing but spirit, and we're all in this process of expression. We're all part of the magnificent it, whatever you want to title it as being, and it's awesome. And is it going to be sweet and smooth flowing? I guarantee you, a good portion of the time, it's not. But it really, your book is just very refreshing.
Well,
to
thank
read.
You so
and
much.
I know.
Thank you so much, and I must say I'm very gratified about the response I'm getting to the books. It just came out, and I'm getting some wonderful feedback and wonderful response. I just got, pretty much every day I'm getting responses from folks, and it's very gratifying because I think what we started out saying is really what people are responding to. I think there's a lot of BS in the spiritual world. There's a lot of BS in virtually every path, and people begin to say, "Wait a minute, is this stuff of value at all?" And so what I'm attempting to do is to say both what happened to me, but I think in a broader way, to say what I think is really going on in the spiritual life, and doing it in a way that's quite clear and quite honest and without any of the hype that I think we all grow up with. So your response is very gratifying. I'm really delighted to hear it, and I really thank you.
You're very welcome. Now tell us about your class and also the website where people can go. But you have this class that you've put together. Tell us what that is and how people can find out more about it.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. And the class is called Soul Jazz. The first bit of it comes in a weekend thing. You can get more information about it by simply signing up to the website, which is godeepertogether.com. We bring people together to help find out what is really going on in your lives and to help make real contact with people. So that the website is called godeepertogether.com. And you can get the book, Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be, at the website Enlightenment Ain't. And by the way, you can't put an apostrophe in a URL, so it's just Enlightenment Ain't without the apostrophe. So enlightenmentain't.com is where you can pick up the book and read about it. And the other website is called godeepertogether.com. So thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Again, the book is Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. The cover's beautiful. It's got a picture of Buddha's head. Buddha's in, covered up to his neck in snow, and there's these little footprints going through the snow. Beautifully, beautifully done. And I really think that it gives a very refreshing understanding that this journey that Robert Foreman went through, he's sharing the journey with you so that you can know you can breathe and you can know that you're not lost. You
and you
really
can take
are.
Your own journey, absolutely.
That's so. Right. Your journey is your own. Robert, it's been a delight having you as a guest.
It
I appreciate
certainly
your
been
being
delightful.
With me.
It's been a delight to be with you too, Donna. Thank you so much for the time.
It's my pleasure. Donna Sebo here. Don't forget his website, godeepertogether.com,
enlightenainte.com. Enlightenmentainte.com, yes.
Excuse me, I was corrected. Enlightenmentainte.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out Toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 845-871-4900. That's 845-871-4900. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone number to call in if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and of course, you're welcome to ask me about anything you like, and that's how simple it is. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Well, I'm telling you, I get so excited about the people that I have a chance to interview, and I feel like one of the most fortunate women on this planet because of all of the various perspectives that I have the opportunity to experience through reading. And reading has always been a very important part of my life, and I have found it has enriched my life on so many levels. It's frustrated me at times, but what it does, it makes you take time, first of all, to be quiet when you're reading. And secondly, it may challenge you. I was just reading some material that came in to me just today, and it was regarding brain surgery. Now, I know I'm not a brain surgeon, and I don't claim to be a super-duper scientist, but this was about a surgery that was done on the brain, taking away half of a brain in an individual, half of the brain. Dividing it in half, taking out half of a brain because of seizures that a woman was going through, and they were killing her. they did this. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. And what happened is the woman was able to communicate and do everything when they removed half of the brain. Why? What was it? Why? How can something like this happen? Your brain is a phenomenal, phenomenal instrument. There are people, depending on what areas of the brain that might be affected, that may have a paralysis. They may end up losing speech. They may have their vision affected. There's all kinds of variables. But when I was reading just a tiny portion of the material that I had received, I thought, we know so little. We know so little about the brain. Isn't it wonderful that there is a person who has taken the time to put information in a book that I can read, who gives his perspective and his wisdoms that he has at this point, and at the same time says, we really don't know a whole bunch, but this is what we do know at this point. This is our perspective. Comparing it with times in history, it really adds something to your world, and I encourage you. I encourage you. I don't care who you are. If you want to use a Kindle, I don't care what it is. But start reading. But don't be afraid to dip into something that's out of your zone. If you really would like to know more about science, go for it. If you would really like to know more about medicine, go for it. If you want to know about animals or minerals or trees or squirrels, I don't care what it is. Open your mind and be willing to pick up a book and read it. And I don't care what anybody says. Books are not going to go out of style. They're always going to be around in one form or another. And what it does, it challenges you. It infuses you with a willingness to learn. And what they've been proving more and more is that no matter what your age, if you are active, if you are mentally involved with a learning process on whatever level, it could be knowing how to fix the best Chateaubriand that has ever been produced, whatever, your brain is renewing itself. It's developing new connectors. Diet is important. Physical exercise is important, and exercising the brain. But you know what's even more fun? Is when you can have a conversation with people, and they'll go, what made you come up with that information? Where did you get it from? I've never heard that before. Gee, that's interesting. You have something to communicate about. Life is very interesting. It is not your morning breakfast programs on the television. It is about learning about life, and there's such diversity. So it's good. It's one of the joys that I get out of doing this program. I find in the 11 years that I've been doing my radio show that it has just expanded my world so much. And I find that I really want to even hear more people's stories. Why? Because individuals make a difference, and it's the same with you. We always have something we can learn, something brand new that you never even thought of. And you don't know, maybe you're going to come across a piece of information. Has this ever happened to you where maybe you're reading an article? Could be in a magazine, you're standing in line at the grocery store and you're thumbing through and you go, wow, look at this on this particular physical problem. And then you happen to go home and maybe a friend calls up and says, gee whiz, I've had this, this has been going on, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And you go, you know, it's fascinating. I was just reading an article about that. I think you ought to go down and get such and such a magazine because you're going to find this in the middle of it or whatever. And you tell them all about the magazine. Now, what are the odds about you getting the right information that you can pass along to someone else? Pretty high odds, right? But yet, there it has been. The universe works in wonderful ways. I find that I'm able to pass along information to people because I have been exposed to certain points of information that maybe would never cross their path. We're all busy people. So I think sharing, exploring is an invigorating part of life. And reading is one of the ways that you can get it. You can get it from watching things on television. But there's something about reading that causes you to slow down a little bit. So So you are digesting it. You internalize it in a way that maybe will be very beneficial, not just to you, but maybe to someone you know. So it's a real joy to be able to bring these people to you, because they, each and every one of them that I have on the air, have something special to share. Now, talking about that, next week we're going to be talking with Linda and Alan Anderson. We're going to be talking about animals and the kids who love them. This makes a wonderful holiday gift, too. And then also, working parents, thriving families. Sometimes I get so tired about all the doomsday about the families. There's a lot of hardworking families out there, good kids, good mom and dad, and by golly, they just need to know they can have a thriving family. They can have a good life. We live in different times. This isn't the 1940s Donna Reed special and the 1950s and 60s. No. What you've got here is a way of life that is in place at this time, and you can have a very solid family union. Managing depression through exercise. Well, we're going to be talking about that with Jane Baxter, creating personal presence with Deanna Buher, and this is something that's important. How do you want the world to perceive you? How do you wish to present yourself in the most effective way? Well, we're going to learn about that. And then, how do you design your yard or your environment for your favorite pet? What do you do? Lots of fun information, and that's what's going to be coming up next week. And by the way, if you want to know about any of the guests that are coming on the Donna Sebo Show, all you have to do is check out show information. That's it. And you'll see all of the lineup, and you'll find out all about the people that are coming in. Well, not all about them, because I can't tell you everything in the little write-up. Can't do that. I want you to listen. All right, 2012 winter calendar. Why don't I deal with the sign of Taurus right at the moment? And if I have any time today, I will also get into Gemini. But right now, we'll do Taurus. When it comes to romance, if you're single, you're trying to find Mr. Right, well, just be patient. Just be patient, Mr. or Ms. Right, however you want to do it. Now, you are going to find that if you already have a spouse, you're wanting to have more of a communication factor, maybe an intimacy factor, be patient. That's the biggest thing. Be patient. This is where under the sign of Taurus. And if you're not happy about your finances, if you don't feel they're rock solid, you're going to find you have an opportunity to bring that financial positive balance into your space. And it's going to be all about what is really most meaningful to you. So you're going to have to put yourself out there, but the opportunity is going to be there for you to be able to increase your income. What about traveling? Well, you probably are going to be doing some short trips, some little trips that are going to enable you to get away for a while. If your budget is tight, use your imagination. Do some research. There's a lot of things that you can do to bolster your own life in a positive way. Maybe it's just taking a day and going and visiting a museum or becoming a part of a marathon or whatever you want to do. But remember, you don't have to spend a fortune to do it. Then let's get into Gemini. With Gemini, well, you're going to become more assertive, known for being able to go between things quite easily. You really are going to find that your confidence in winter of 2012 is really going to be soaring. You're going to feel so good about who you are. Money and career, well, you're going to have to watch it, because the urge for spending is going to be really, really big, especially with the holiday season coming up. So you need to say to yourself, I'm going to give myself a budget, that's it, and I want to be sure that I have a good financial plan in place for the year 2012 so that I can feel solid about my financial positioning. And then when it comes to, let's say, surprises, don't be surprised that you're going to have some unexpected gifts come your way, and they may not come in a box with a ribbon around it, but there are going to be gifts of the heart and of the mind and of some practical things that really are going to make a difference in your life. And if you want to plan for a trip during the winter, let's say towards the end of January, then let's put it together now. Start looking at what you might need. Maybe put some cash aside for that. Put yourself first so that when that winter cycle is sort of getting to you, you can take that little break and have that getaway of a few days and just feel invigorated. Before you know it, spring will be showing you her beautiful, beautiful costume of longer hours and flowers. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. All I need is your first name or initial. When we come back, I have got a recipe for those of you that have dogs. That's right. Fido's going to need a treat or two. Holidays are here. How can you take care of Fido so that you don't end up letting him get the goodies he shouldn't get? Why not fix him some goodies that he's really going to like? So when we come back, have that pad of paper and pen handy, and I'll share some simple recipes for those four-pawed friends that we love so much. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. My little Scottish Terrier, Victor, absolutely loves snacks. So I try to limit it because that's one of the ways, if you get a lot of store-bought snacks, that you can find your furry person just getting really chubby. So that's not what you want to do. Well, there is a delightful woman from Germany. Her name is Friederike Friedel. And she has a book, Baking for Dogs, and I've not been able to get her on the air as a guest yet. But she, in this book, she's got some wonderful recipes, and this one, and they're all healthy recipes, and she owns a bake shop in Germany, and people bring their dogs in to the dog bakery shop. And at this bakery shop, she has all of these recipes that she's used for a long time, and so she decided to put them in a book. Now, most of us would rather have the doggy bakery shop in our neighborhood, but since that's not possible, then why not find out about a recipe? So I thought I would just share two of them with you. One is liver dumplings. Now, you're going to preheat your oven to 340 degrees, and you're going to line a baking pan with your parchment paper. Now, these are the ingredients. There's only four ingredients for this one, actually five ingredients. 2.5 cups, 1/2 pound, or 250 grams of rye flour. It's 2.5 cups, 1/2 pound, or 250 grams of rye flour, if you're going to measure it, which most good bakers will measure their ingredients, weigh them. 1/3 pound, which is 150 grams of fresh chicken liver, and 2 tablespoons of fresh chopped parsley, and then 3.5 tablespoons of sunflower oil, and about 1/2 cup of water. So 3.5 tablespoons of sunflower oil and 1/2 cup of water. You may or may not want to use the parsley. Sometimes dogs don't like parsley. I know my little terrier, Victor, doesn't like it, but other terriers have loved it. So it all depends on the dog. You just sort of try it out. Now, what you do, you have your oven preheated. You've got your baking pan with the baking paper. Now, you want to cook the chicken liver in the water for about 15 minutes and then let it cool. And then you're going to puree your chicken liver with water. And I'd say if you've got one of those upright blenders that you just put into a container, like a large glass measuring cup, you can puree that in just seconds or put it in your Cuisinart. And then you're going to measure your rye flour. You want to take the rye flour and mix it in with your pureed chicken liver, the parsley, and the oil, and you stir it until it becomes a real smooth dough. Then you're going to make little balls about 3/4 inch in diameter with your fingers, and you're going to bake it at 340 degrees for about 25 minutes. Now, if you want to add a different flavor to this, instead of using water, use your chicken broth, or you can, because they had the tap water as being a separate mixture, but just use the water you made with the chicken liver broth. That's what I did. And then you're going to find that if the dog doesn't have an adverse reaction or taste reaction to the parsley being in it, it's a great nutritional addition, and it's super. Now, here's another one. She called this recipe fresh, and the dogs just love the liver dumplings. That's the recipe I just gave you. They absolutely love liver dumplings. Now, this one is called fresh. You're going to need 2.5 cups of rice flour, 2.5 cups of rice flour. You're going to need an apple. You need 1/2 cup of fat-free yogurt, a small bunch of fresh mint, and about 2/3 cup of water. And this is what you're going to do. Your oven needs to be preheated to 160 degrees approximately. And again, you have your baking pan. You put your parchment paper in there. You're going to measure out your rice flour and your fat-free yogurt. You're going to quarter the apple, and you want to puree it with your 2/3 cup of water. And then you want a little bit of the mint, and you want to, of course, wash that off and chop it. It's fresh. And if you want to use the dried, you might want to let that mint leaf soak in a little bit of water. It doesn't need a lot of water. But if you use the dried, just take a little bit, put it in a tiny bit of water, and let it just expand a bit. Then you're going to mix everything together in a smooth dough, and you can do this with an electric mixer. And then what you're going to do is take your fingers and make little nuggets with your fingers. And you put them on the baking pan, and you're going to bake them for about 20 minutes at 320 degrees. Now, the oven was preheated to 160, but you want to bake it at 320. So the rice flour, you can find that just about anywhere, especially at an Asian food store. And these are great. This is a great treat for dogs that might be allergic to grains, and that's why I wanted to share it with you. And it's also low fat, so if you're concerned about your dog putting on weight, that's great. But I would also say, if you wanted to add a little bit of a puree in with this, a meat of some kind to give it an extra flavor, try that. See, this is a simple enough recipe. You could do just about anything with it. Dogs, well, my dog, I think, is a gourmet Scotty. He just does not want to eat anything that typically most people would give. He'll turn his nose. He's been this way since he was a puppy. He turns his nose up at kibble and things like this. So I have always fed our Scotties homemade food. And I think Frederica's recipes are really simple, really easy, and they're also healthy. And if you have trouble getting vitamins down your dog, this may, especially with the liver dumplings, may be a great way to stick that nutritional supplement into the mixture as well, and the dog won't be any smarter. By the way, I wanted to share some information with you quickly before we close out the show. The debit card can be something that's going to cost you a lot. Now, we've been hearing so much on the news about different banks charging fees and ATM stuff and all of this. You need to really pay attention to this because a lot of banks are charging a flat monthly fee or a per-use fee whenever you buy things. They're trying to make up for lost revenue due to the various regulations that have curbed their ability to charge people. So they've got to try to get in those extra dollars in other venues. So you might want to find out how you can avoid those surplus fees, or maybe just check out and find a different financial institution that is going to enable you to use your card without those extra financial costs. This is Donna Sebo. It's been delightful having you join me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enlightenment, well, it isn't what it's cracked up to be many times, but I'll tell you what. You are going to find that when you invest in yourself, you are going to be a light to other people because you'll be showing them the value of constant expansion and growth, and giving the best of what you have really pays off in the long run. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you on Monday. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.